This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. This is hour two, numero dos. All right, you got anything off the text line before we proceed on there, Jake?
Yeah, a few different thoughts here. Bill and Bennett says, I bet Adam needed a change of underwear after that.
Dude, I needed a whole freaking change of diaper after that.
Also, 3477 says about Shador, it's not the first time he went 144 when he was supposed to go 25.
So when you first read that to me, I was so confused. And then it hit me. That's mean yet hilarious.
And to be clear, he went 101 and a 60, but we get the point. 5124 yes. Says, have y'all seen the video of Adrian Peterson in a fist fight at an office today?
I have not seen it. You said TMZ released it like an hour ago?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, yep.
Did he win?
Well, I think yes. At the end of the video, it looked like he had the upper hand, but it was a lot of squaring off and a lot of people trying to break up a fight. But in the end, he did, it looked like, get the upper hand.
Do we know who the opponent was?
We do not. It seemed to be a dispute over a poker game.
I said opponent like this was a boxing match or something.
But it's a smaller guy than Adrian. So I don't know if he won or not, but I'll at least give him. I wouldn't try to get in a fist fight with Adrian Peterson. He looked like he was my size.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I'll have to check out the video later. All right. Anything else before we proceed on here?
No, just that also, I know Adrian doesn't always, you know, he's got some troubles or whatever that we hear about from time to time, but I just always go back to, man, he was amazing, especially his freshman year at Oklahoma. He had some injuries throughout his career. Otherwise, I think he would have been all-time great as far as college. And obviously in the pros, he is an all-time great.
When I think of greatest freshman seasons ever, Herschel Walker,
yeah,
again, a little bit before my time, but I'm aware of these things. I think of Herschel Walker, Adrian Peterson, Maurice Clarett for Ohio State. I mean, I was just going to keep it to running backs. I think I'll just keep it to running backs. Is there any other running back true freshman seasons? Obviously, Amon stepped up big time in 95, yeah. But as far as an entire season from beginning to end, those are the three that pop out of my head. Am I missing anybody?
I mean, again, we might be, but those are the three that I think
that popped right in your head too, as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
He was having played against him in college and in the NFL, he's actually my first NFL tackle against the Vikings. He was a rare combination of three things: speed, power, and angry. I've legit seen the dude, like most running backs will try to avoid contact. I've legit seen him change his course of direction to go initiate contact and try to run over somebody. Especially the smaller you are, the more he's going to seek you out. I mean, he wouldn't run from a D lineman or a linebacker or a DB, or like he wouldn't run from anybody. But like I've legit seen him like you can see his eyes and you can see his foot in the ground, and then he's changing direction right at particular defensive players because he wants to go initiate contact. And then he had the breakaway speed. He was big and powerful to begin with. He came in, yeah, like you said, had some injuries. He came in from day one of the best running backs in the country, straight out of high school. All right, my man. Matt Rhule praises quarterback Dylan Raiola. Now, this was during a radio appearance a few days ago. Nebraska football coach had high praise for starting quarterback. Matt Rhule made the comments about sophomore starting quarterback Dylan Raiola while appearing on the Jim Rohn show. Again, this was a few days ago. Rhule not only praised his quarterback's leadership, but also disclosed that multiple schools had contacted Raiola despite his never entering the transfer portal. And I quote, "And everyone reached out to him. He could have taken the easy way out and left and gone into the portal and gone to some place where he could start over, where he doesn't have to do as much himself, but he chose to stick it out and fight." All right. He will be also working out with some elite talented quarterbacks later this month at the Manning Passing Academy on the campus of Nicholls State University. All right, that's going to be June 26th through June 29th. The Cornhuskers head coach also praised off-the-field traits that Raiola has developed since last the end of last season. And I quote, where I see him growing is in the phase of leadership and the phase of mental toughness, handling adversity. I think he's going to have a great year, end quote. All right, when you hear things like that, what's kind of your reaction? What are your thoughts there, Jake? And if people want to chime in on the text line as well, what is that number, Jake?
402-464-5685.
Never changes, but go ahead, Jake. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically what we thought would happen. I like acknowledging it, right? I think Dylan Riley obviously does have every opportunity to go, you know, just about 95% of places around the country, maybe even more than that, and would have offers to do so, and probably has had offers to do so. So it's good to go, you know, get out and acknowledge it and to kind of remember what an asset he is for Nebraska. Again, you might have differing opinions about how his freshman season went. We just talked about some of the greatest of all time. His wasn't in that category, but it was solid, right? And now we expect to see a big jump coming up here from him. So, you know, I love the fact that he's basically at any event Nebraska is throwing or a part of, or Matt Rhule is around. I love that he's there. He's an easy guy to look up for to the kids in the community. So he's an easy guy to root for, let alone that, you know, Nebraska's he's kind of Nebraska's franchise quarterback right now. So obviously you want to root for him, but he's easy to root for. And I just like how Matt Rhule is, you know, kind of takes down that wall. Sometimes some coaches wouldn't want to speak about this or acknowledge it, but Matt Rhule just kind of tell you directly how it is. And so I appreciate Matt Rhule in this instance too, acknowledging and reminding us that it is still a gift and you do have to re-recruit these players. And he's a guy that's going to be difficult to hold on to. If the loyalty is not there.
So as far as acknowledging, basically other schools reached out to him, other schools contacted him. I remember last winter when there was all these rumor and innuendo and speculation about him possibly entering the portal, et cetera, and came out and put those all to bed. There's no doubt to me that he's been contacted by other schools. Matt Rhule obviously just confirmed it. Even before that, we pretty much kind of had an idea. And I think Rhule puts that out there. Let's be real. There isn't anything that he says that doesn't have a reason behind it. And so if I'm the head coach and I want to be open, I want to be honest, but I also want to endear my quarterback to the fans more, I can say, just so you know, he had other offers and he chose to stay here, which is 100% true. Okay, so first of all, it's true. It lets the fan base know, hey, he wants to be here. He is not only our guy, he's your guy. He's your guy as well. He's here to represent this team, this state, this university, this program. He had offers to go elsewhere and he chose to stay. So I think that's a major reason he puts that out there, and it makes a lot of sense. And frankly, if I was the head coach, I'd put it out there too. At this point in time, I wouldn't have done it at that time, which he did it. I would do it at this point in time because it's a good message for the fans to hear, to know. And it's interesting, every once in a while when you hear somebody kind of come down on Dylan or whatever, I've been consistent with this. I have a hard time with that. How can you realistically, even if you look at Dylan's freshman year, okay, he's a true freshman, comes in, starts as a teenager, talked about it a million times. Yeah, was there some ups and downs, 13 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. I mean, the last half of the year, he had 3 touchdowns to 9 interceptions, so it was, you know, a 3-to-1 ratio in the wrong direction that you don't want. But there was a lot of things that the team was figuring out, coaching staff-wise, what they're going to do on offense, how they're going to adjust this, how they're going to do that. Other teams had film on Dylan. Frankly, heating up Dylan is the best way to try to, no pun intended, get to him. Okay, you heat him up, which to me, a true freshman quarterback, that would be my first instinct. Let's bring it and let's see what he can do with it. But teams kind of got film on that. They adjusted. And it became harder. And that's kind of how coaching works. That's how adjustments work. That's how audibles work. That's how in-game, out-of-game, between weeks, in-games, throughout season, in-season adjustments work. But to me, I never understood when people would be like, I don't know, you hear crazy things. He's not that good. Or he's not this. Or over the, he's over this or over that. I'm just like, how can you say any of that? Because we don't know. Like, my expectations for year one, I was very clear on what they were. Year two, they're obviously going to increase. And I'm going to expect more. And I still haven't put them sky high. I'm waiting for year three on that. For year two, I'm just like, I'd love at least a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. And he was actually 3-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio through 6 games. All right. So he's shown he can take care of the ball. He had, I believe it was a 73% completion percentage up until the Indiana game. And then from the time Holgorsen took over the last 3 to 4 games, it was 70% or better. So he had mid-60s to high-60s for about 3 or 4 games there in that what I'd call the third quarter of the season, the middle 3 to 4 games, or the back end 3 to 4 games before you get into the fourth quarter, so to speak. So for me, he's shown he can complete passes. He's shown he can make good decisions. The progression is what we need. Number one, taking care of the ball. 13 touchdown, 11 interceptions. You got to bring the interceptions down. All right, can you take care of the ball, continue to make good decisions, and then be clutch when we need it the most? I think you've said it multiple times this offseason. We need to win games because of Dylan Raiola, not in spite of Dylan Raiola. And I think that's a fair thing to expect. But at the end, I'm still not saying he needs to be a Heisman candidate. He's not, needs to be an All-American. I mean, he has the capability of being all those things, by the way. For me, I've just said some sort of all Big Ten. First team, second team, third team. Heck, I'd even take honorable mention. Okay, that would be a noticeable improvement in the right direction. And in order to do that, higher completion percentage as an overall whole, taking care of the ball and being clutch in those big time situations, because Nebraska has struggled, as we know, close games late in fourth quarters. And if he can be that clutch guy that we've needed for a while to step up, those one score losses, we were 2-4 last year, maybe you flip that to 4-2. Maybe it could even be better than that. Okay, so that's when I look at Dylan Raiola, that's what I'm looking for. You go into year three, depending on how year two goes, and there may be onslaughts of phone calls next offseason. We'll see how the transfer portal changes and if rules can actually be enforced without people just laughing at the NCAA and suing them if they don't like what's going on every 2 minutes. There is an enforcement body coming in college football. Now, will they have any actual power? We'll see. How soon will they be here? We'll see. In the meantime, we're stuck with whatever the NCAA actually is at this point. But going into year three, that's when you look at a guy with his talent level. At that point, will have been a two-year starter. You look at a guy with the expectations, five-star, all that, and you start to have the lofty, lofty expectations. For this year, it's just kind of what I've diatribed at this point. Does that kind of make sense, Jake?
Yeah. I get what you're saying, and I agree with you. It's just kind of the natural progression, right? You have to take steps before you can become the Heisman Trophy contender, and maybe he'll never get there. Maybe he will. Hopefully, you know, we all hope that he does, but you know, that's just not the next step after this year. But it is interesting how quickly your star can kind of fade, at least as far as the perception of you're kind of being the next big thing. You look at some of these quarterback rankings. Going into the Big Ten, there, you know, you see Julian Sain ranked higher, hasn't taken a snap. Now he's got Ohio State quarterbacks always have the benefit of having some talent around him. But even like a Desmond Williams, who I've been seeing ranked higher than him, who had a really great bowl game, but has only played like 2 games. He's a freshman. So we're all excited about him. And again, you know, to your point, nobody had film on Desmond Williams. He just went out there and balled out. And we saw Dylan do that at the beginning of last year. Once you get some film on him, it becomes a little bit more difficult. So I'm interested to see what happens next. And listen, as far as the transfer portal, it's every player, and Dylan being your biggest asset, that's always going to be a bit of something of a concern, as much as they can kind of bring it down. Even again, you know, say if you have a ho-hum year, sometimes just a new place could maybe make you feel a little bit better. So, you know, it is hopefully, you know, for many, many reasons, they take that next step for the continuity and of course, the growth development of Dylan Raiola.
To be clear, like, he has the ability to just completely and utterly pop off this year. I just don't know that it's fair to say that as an expectation. And like I said, when people were kind of get down on Dylan, I was like, man, the whole program as a whole has got to get better. He's part of that program. What's realistically fair to expect out of a true freshman starting quarterback a year ago? So there's a level of grace that you give him. The grace is still there, but the level of expectation increases this year and continues to increase going into next year, at least for me. You look at some of these. It's funny, I had this pulled up while you were talking about it, so it was perfect. You kind of brought it up. The Big Ten preseason quarterback rankings. There, I mean, the one I'm looking at right now, he's ranked, and this is fairly consistent, by the way, is the 6th best quarterback in the Big Ten going into the season. Obviously, you can go up or down pretty quickly on these lists. Drew Aller, kind of unanimously, by far the most experienced guy in the Big Ten, unanimously the number 1 preseason quarterback by most publications. And then you've got a bunch of guys who combined don't have the amount of starts that Dylan Raiola does. And number two, you got Julian Sand, who is an incredibly highly recruited, highly talented guy out of Ohio State. You don't have to question the talent around him. You don't have to question the program around him. You don't have to question the coaches, even though he's got a new OC. Brian Hartline has been there forever. He's just now the OC, but it's not like he's a brand new face. So there's less questions around him. You look at Dante Moore at Oregon. This is a guy that started at UCLA, then transferred and sat for a year before he's starting again at Oregon. How often do you hear that? I'm going to transfer and sit for a year behind Dylan Gabriel. So that actually tells me a lot about who and what he is and what he's willing to do. You have something?
I just don't love, listen, I'm excited to see Dante Moore again. I kind of followed him because he was a freshman All-American. If you do the halfway freshman All-American, but his job was eventually taken by Ethan Garbers. And Ethan Garbers actually played pretty well against Nebraska. So you might have a different opinion on him, but he's a solid quarterback, but he's not, that's one I have a big problem with. And I think it's just the Oregon, we all just assume he's just going to take over and be just as good. I don't think he's going to be just as good as Dylan Gabriel. So, I mean, I don't understand how Dante Moore is ranked ahead of even Dylan at that point in there.
To be clear, I don't think he'll be as good as Dylan Gabriel. I do think you're right. It's the Oregon brand kind of helping him out. And you made a good point earlier. You know, people, what they see recently is what sticks out in their mind. Sometimes they forget other outliers, how old you are, how young you are, what your experience level is, the potential you still have in front of you. And you look at Dylan, and I think the last half of the season, especially, Indiana to the next couple, three games, UCLA, whatnot, that kind of sticks out in some people's minds a little bit more for whatever reason. And so I think that's why he's a little bit lower. When you're right. You're like, I still like that he was willing to sit out a year, learn, grow, and get better, Dante Moore. But as far as how good he's actually going to be, it's a fair point. He did lose his job at UCLA. I will say this. Will Howard lost his job at Kansas State. So you never know. We'll see what happens there. But you got Julian Sain at number two, Dante Moore number three. To your point, Desmond Williams, who was also a true freshman last year. And when you say he balled out in the Sun Bowl. Like, he played well. Those three guys combined don't have the amount of reps, snaps, or starts that Dylan has, yet they're all rated ahead of him. Outside of Desmond, you can also say there's a little bit of brand, I don't want to say favoritism, but, people are going to see Ohio State, Oregon, and they're naturally going to bump a quarterback up because they know what's around them probably. Desmond Williams just looks so freaking good. He's at number four, the Washington starting quarterback. Luke Altmyer is the only other quarterback with any real starting experience in front of Dylan here, okay? The former four-star quarterback, I believe he transferred from Ole Miss to Illinois, struggled in year one. I may have called him a turnover machine before we played him on that Friday night 2 years ago, and then last year, my goodness, did he improve. And that's what I'm hoping for Dylan. I'm not saying Dylan was a turnover machine last year, but the improvement that Luke Altmyer made from his first year at Illinois to last year was night and freaking day. Could we see an improvement like that this year for Dylan? Because Luke Altmyer was a highly recruited quarterback. Dylan's ceiling is even higher. So we'll see what happens. Luke Altmyer is at five according to this list. This is Josh Pate's list. All right, Dylan Raiola at six. Jaden Maeva. There's so many talented quarterbacks in the Big Ten. This could be one of the most unproven group of quarterbacks I've ever seen as starters in the Big Ten, and one of the most talented. You got Jaden Maeva. You got Bryce Underwood at number eight. Fernando Mendoza, all right, in Indiana. Nico Iamaliava. This doesn't even include Aiden Childs up at Michigan State. You've got so many different guys that are so talented, yet I would say Nico Iamaliava is incredibly unproven. Yet, that's a guy, if I'm being honest, I think his ceiling is just as high as Dylan's. But I would say Dylan's maybe even a little bit more proven than Nico, in my opinion, because Nico started off hot, and then he really struggled once they hit SEC play. I know they want to blame Josh Heupel there, but we'll see what happens at UCLA. What are your thoughts here, Jake?
I'm just upset the Greek rifle, Ethan Kaliak-Manis, is not getting enough love on these. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a fan of Kaliak-Manis, but not I do understand his limitations. But, yeah, so like to your point, though, this is – it's interesting because the wave of quarterbacks that's coming in, like we said, a lot of unproven, so you can kind of maneuver this list however you'd want. I would personally think Altmyer – deserves a little bit more respect for having his team finish in the top 15 and have 22 touchdowns and 6 picks. So I wouldn't rank all these, guys that are unproven ahead of him. But, this could be the next wave. Like you're saying, like right now, maybe they're not household names, but if even three or four of these young guys in the Big Ten hit, we've got, several years of these guys that are establishing themselves as household names this year where the future of the quarterback play in the Big Ten could really take off.
So many young, talented guys. A lot of the guys we just went through, but I just kind of briefly mentioned Bryce Underwood. And there's been reports, you know, maybe he didn't show up in creme de la creme physical condition at Michigan. Some people have made the joke of the freshman 15. And then you hear other people say, no, he looks good. Like, he looks good. And I would equate to him the same thing I said about Dylan last year. He's a true freshman. Like, keep that in mind with these incredibly high expectations. And when you're getting paid the amount of money he's getting paid, high expectations are fair as well. I do think that has to be factored in. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we got brief look ahead to Game 6, NBA Finals. College football playoff, it's truly becoming insane. Because we always thought it was Big Ten SEC versus the world. Now it's Big Ten SEC versus each other and the world. They cannot get on the same page there. And Jordan Westerkamp will join us at 12:45. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.